The New York Yankees coming off a dramatic victory, hoping that sparks them as they take on the Astros. And the Mets are up in Milwaukee taking on the Brewers after what was, I mean, let's just be honest, a disastrous homestand. Losing two out of three to the reloading Giants, who traded away half their bullpen, and then getting swept by the Cleveland Guardians. Here's my feeling on the Mets. And I don't think I'm being reactionary or over the top, because I do understand that 162 is a long season. And I try to keep in perspective that you are never as bad as you are when you're struggling, and you're never as good as you are when you're hot. I acknowledge that. What has really concerned me about the Mets' recent struggle is that they have mostly played mediocre baseball for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
They had the 7-game winning streak, which was great. I enjoyed it. But if you look at the sample size going all the way back to late April after they swept Philadelphia, they are a 500 team. If you want to go back to mid-June, the series against Tampa Bay, they are an under 500 team. They have not played well for a while. Now, I don't throw anything back. Their great start has helped them. Their great start is the reason they're in a playoff spot.
Yep.
Their great start is why they're only 2.5 games back. But let's look deeper at this whole thing. Their bullpen has a chance to be awesome. I'm not even worried about their rotation. I think Kodai Senga will be fine. Tonight will certainly be a test for him.
Definitely.
But I do believe it's kind of just a mechanical issue. And Kodai Senga, for the most part, during his major league career, has been better than good. Shaw Manaea had one bad inning. David Peterson has been a constant. And look, Clay Holmes, if you treat him what he should be treated like as a 5-inning pitcher, I think he'll be fine. I also believe that sooner rather than later, Brandon Sproat and Nolan McLean are going to get a chance at the major league level. I'm not concerned about the pitching. What I'm concerned about is that their offense has been a below-average offense all year. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. That's what they've been. Now, we could try to figure out why, and we can kind of blame different people. Lately, a lot of the blame is on the bigger stars.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look deeper, it's more than that. They're getting no production from catcher. They've gotten no production out of third base. They've gotten zero production out of center field. Like, it's more than just the stars are underperforming. Because, yeah, I think Juan Soto will eventually hit with guys on base.
No, but you can't have a third of your lineup besides the stars be net nothing.
And that's what they've been over exactly. The majority of the season.
Third of your lineup's a big chunk.
And they're not scoring runs. And they haven't scored runs all year. Like, when they played well in April, they did it because of their pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern level for the Mets is that this offense is just not as good as we thought it would be. And I'm not convinced that's changing.
Which is where the pitching, though, does come in for me to be an issue. Because, look, baseball's changed and the postseason's changed. And we've seen this for a long time where even really great rotations are not allowing guys to go 7 innings or whatnot. But, man, when you're not scoring runs and you struggle, and maybe you struggle versus great pitching, you need a couple guys out there where you can escape 1-0, 2-0, something like that. You cannot have 3 runs or more given up by a starting pitcher.
But hold on. I want to give you an example of a specific game that really bothered me. 3 days ago. Was it 3 days ago now? I'm losing the track of the days. Yes. It was.
Just give me the pitcher.
Game, Clay Holmes.
Oh, the Holmes game. Okay.
Clay Holmes went 5 innings, allowed 2 runs. Carlos Mendoza, rightfully so, pulled him after 75 pitches. He needed 4 innings out of his bullpen. One reliever, Tyler Rogers, gave up a cheap run. It happens. Not a lot of hard contact, but gave up a cheap run. The Met offense scored 2 runs in the first 2 innings and didn't do anything after, and they lost 3-2.
But that shows you the margin for error.
Well, that's on the offense,
though. Is on the offense.
That's what it's on. I can't expect to win 1-0. I'm sorry. They have to score runs. They've got to do it consistently. They haven't all year. And so I hope it changes. I'll tell you right now, I hope Juan Soto goes crazy. I hope Lindor plays like an MVP. I hope Mark Vientos figures out that last year was real. I hope all that stuff happens. But we have a sample size now of 115 games where they have not been a good offense. So am I crazy to say, hey, maybe they're not that good?
No.
Is that really crazy?
No. Here, two things can be true. They're not that good. The talent on paper, boy, it sounds like we're bringing this back to the Giants early, tells you they should be better than they are. But we're also not out of time. We're not.
Not at all. I've never suggested that.
Baseball being as mediocre as it is on both leagues right now, and the fact that the Mets still occupy a playoff spot with relative comfortability, knowing how poor they've been offensively, tells you there's still time. Like, what is going to take this team and this offense waking up? We've all looked for these fake moments that haven't happened. You know, maybe just thumping a good team this weekend is that kind of moment where you don't need the magic of a purple mascot. I leaned on this in the Lugauer last night. Maybe tonight you walk in that clubhouse in Milwaukee and you remember that moment of last year.
Mm.
Maybe there's something to that that breeds that confidence where you know, after a day off, by the way, where you had a chance to breathe,
right.
You catch yourself and go, remember how alive we felt in this room last year? Yeah. something subtly like that. You get a couple, it's four runs tonight off Woodruff, something like that. Maybe that's what gets it going. Maybe just leaning on some moments from last year, and tonight you have an opportunity in Milwaukee.
To quote a wise man, from your lips to God's ears.
I know. And it might be grasping at straws.
I hope that happens. And look, here's the reality of baseball, and this is the part where whenever I get frustrated with this team, which I think we all were, getting swept by the Cleveland Guardians, I always tell myself, and I would tell Yankee fans this too, it's a nice thing, it's kind of a depressing thing, but it's a nice thing. Just make the playoffs, because we live in a sport in which all you really need to do is make the playoffs and play your best baseball at the right time. And there's no way to predict if you're going to play your baseball at the best time. You know, there's no way to predict that Juan Soto, who's had a terrible year hitting with runners in scoring position, that that's just going to continue for a week in a best of three or best of five series. He'd get red hot. He's a wonderful baseball player. He's a great player. I'm not sitting here telling you Juan Soto's never going to be clutch. He will be clutch. He's been clutch. He has it in him. I know he can. So the beauty of this sport is, as frustrating as it would be to kind of just battle through an 89-win season in which the Mets are the last wild card team, that doesn't matter if you get hot at the right time. And the evidence of that is the opposite happened in 2022, where they went over 100 games. They struggled at the end of the season,
right,
got picked off in a best of three, and that's all we remember. All we remember is the negative. So I acknowledge, that's why I'll never sit here on the radio or on the Rico and say, yeah, season's over. I would never say that. I'm just telling you, I'm frustrated, and I think that they have played like a mediocre team for 3 months.
So what do you expect?
Which is the reality.
What do you expect this weekend? There's a great Milwaukee. Now, great's probably putting it harsh.
They have played like a great
team.
They
have played like a great team, but it is still a Brewer team that you looked in the eye in their building last postseason and took down on a big moment from Pete Alonso. We've seen the way the Mets have struggled. Every time in sports you expect a team to go get annihilated, usually it goes the other way. I expect the Mets to win two out of three this week. I really do think they're going to wake up off it. Now, does that mean it's going to translate the last month and a half? But I think you're going to get a nice weekend in Milwaukee.
I hope so. I mean, they need a good stretch, because the seven-game winning streak was that moment where we all thought, oh, I see, it was an aberration when they were struggling. And that's how it felt, like racking off all those victories.
Yeah, see Steve Cohen's Twitter.
No, I know. And then to back it up by having this just disastrous 8 out of 9 in which you take the winning streak and literally throw it all back. It's like, oh, maybe what we've watched for 3 months is the reality. I hope it's not the case. But I trust the pitching. I love the bullpen. I love what David Stearns did at the deadline. It really comes down to the offense. It's the old Clinton line. It's the offense, stupid. It was really, it's the economy, stupid.
I'm aware.
That's a slogan in 90. No, you're not aware.
I am aware.
Really?
Yes.
Which election?
Which, it was the 96 election.
No.
Who won the 96 election?
No, Clinton did, but that wasn't, it was 92.
92?
It was, it's the economy, stupid. Clinton. That was the James Carville, Paul Begala thing.
Clinton ran in 92, too.
Hey, you realize that you could run twice?
Well, didn't
I mean, you could actually run three times.
Isn't that when the original Bush got elected?
That, no, the original Bush got elected in 88. Beat Dukakis in 88.
So Clinton had a 92 to 2000 run?
Yes.
Wow.
You didn't know that? It was like basically your entire childhood.
Wow, I didn't realize. I was focused on Michael Jordan.
You forgot he was a two-termer?
I guess I just didn't think of the two-termers.
You didn't think of the two-termers?
No, again,
a lot of two-termers.
So he saw the Bulls and Yankee dynasty in his presidency.
Yeah, I'm going to give you another fact that's going to blow your mind.
All right.
Are you ready for this?
Sure.
And I don't know your political leanings, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, but this may change your political leanings.
All right.
You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The last time the Yankees won a World Series with a Republican in the White House was Dwight Eisenhower. And that's a long time ago.
The guy who has the park named after him on Long Island?
That is correct. 1958, yes.
58?
Yeah.
They haven't won a World Series since before the Mantle Maris race with a Republican?
Republican president. When they won in the 60s, it was Jack Kennedy and LBJ. Okay? When they won in the 70s, it was Jimmy Carter.
Wow.
Okay? In 77 and 78. When they won in the late 90s, it was Bill Clinton.
Oh, that was
Giuliani
the,
was the mayor,
was
not
the
president.
The mayor.
I mean, he tried. And then when they won in 09, Barack Obama.
Wow.
They have not won a World Series with a Republican president since Dwight Eisenhower.
So you mean to tell me if the Yankees don't win a World Series now, it's Jill Biden's fault?
No, it's Donald Trump's fault.
Yeah, but Jill mishandled everything for the Democrats.
But he didn't even run for re-election. So it's Kamala Harris.
But yeah, they took too long. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
No, the real problem is Biden was the one Democratic president who didn't get to see a Yankee championship. Because when Obama was president, you got 09.
So,
when Clinton was president, you had the dynasty.
So it's Aaron Boone's fault. to go on a Nestor Cortes.
You're right. That would have been Biden. You're right. I'm thinking about the timing of this whole
thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Aaron Boone screwed up Biden's chance to be another Democrat to see a... Think about that. So all these Democratic presidents get a Yankee World Series. None of the Republicans do.
I love the Yankees.
Well, I mean, you can love them, but... You know what has to happen? He's got to switch parties. Imagine that announcement. I changed my mind. I'm a Democrat now. And then you can win a World Series.
Be great.
And here's the problem. There are some people listening who are like, oh, man, I'm changing party affiliation now. One way or the other, by the way. Could be a Yankee hater, too.
Republican, Yoshi Yamamoto.
Republican, Democrat, I'll always vote pinstripes first. So,
but did you never knew that fact?
I never knew that fact, no.
Do you find that interesting?
I actually do. I do find that interesting. I mean, it's a considering how many World Series the Yankees have won.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a long enough sample size.
Sure.
Well, like,
it has to matter.
Right. Like the Mets, I could tell you the opposite, which is true. The Mets have two World Series. Both World Series were with Republicans as president.
So you're fired. But you voted for Trump because of that.
But that doesn't... No, but here's the problem. The Met thing doesn't matter because it's only two.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone actually thinks that way. Like, oh, well, the two championships came with a Republican. Like, it's only two. But because of the Yankee ones, you see how many championships I just named?
I know. So
it's like 11 straight titles. Seriously.
You need to have Dan, who does all the intel work for us, let me know about prime ministers and the Canadiens Cups, because they've won a ton, too. I need to know.
You don't need to know. Now you just confused all of us.
You don't know what a prime minister is? Come on, Evan.
No, I do. I'm saying there's no correlation.
How do you know?
Because the Yankee one is unique. That's a rare.
Okay, but the other team that's won a ton of championships, the Montreal Canadiens. What if they've won with different Republicans and Democrats? What if there's a similar?
They don't have Republicans. It's like, isn't it like Labor Party and Liberal and Conservative?
Yeah, it's not Republican Democrat.
They don't have the same party names. It's different.
Really?
Yeah. It's a different country, Sean.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what'll really blow his mind? If he reads about Democrats and Republicans in 1865.
They're different philosophies. They flipped. The unions.
Or even 1950.
Yeah, and then there was like the Whig Party. There's different things going on.
Yeah, Whig Party was a big deal, man. Abe Lincoln, a Whig before he was a Republican. You know that?
Really?
Yeah, he was a big Whig guy.
So now he's on Jerry Recco's head.
What?
Jerry Recco. He's been talking a lot about his hair.
He's got a wig?
It's not a wig. Not a wig. I think he actually did like a hair transplant thing.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. I thought you were accusing Jerry Recco of wearing a wig.
No.
I never knew
that. That was just he went balding and fixed his hair joke.
Let's get back to your telephone calls. John is calling from Wantagh. What's up, John?
Wow, Evan, man. Me and you got a real problem with each other.
What happened? What'd I do? What'd you do?
Well, listen, I'm 54 years old.
Okay.
I grew up 7.5 minutes from Shea Stadium. Okay. Right? I grew up in a time when 15 years old, the Mets won the World Series. And I got every opportunity when I was in high school to beat up Yankee fans, right? So that's my claim to fame. I was a big brother. My problem with you is, why do you name your podcast after a Philadelphia Philly?
How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you? He is a Met. He's a Met before he was a Philly.
No, he wasn't. Yes, he had his best years with the Phillies.
Let me tell you something right now.
He had his best years with the Phillies.
Hold on a second. That is not true. Okay? That's
it
a lie.
Look it up.
I'll look it up. It's a lie.
No, he had 200 Bronya, RBI seasons with the Phillies.
That doesn't mean that was his best season. What about 1994 when he came up for 40 games and hit 350? That doesn't count.
Been in the league since 1962. You couldn't come up with somebody like Craig Swan or Pat Zachary?
How dare you?
I would have talked.
How dare you? You're a Met fan. No. How dare you?
I will never listen to that podcast until you change that name.
Well, guess what? Never listen, because it's Rico for life. You ungrateful. Rico Bronya was one of the greatest defensive first basemen the planet ever saw. Don't waste my time with JT Snow or anybody on Keith Hernandez. You can waste my time with, because I know he was great. He was brilliant. And as a 10-year-old, when Rico Bronya was called up after that infamous trade with the Tigers when they dealt Alan Zinter for Rico Bronya, and they called him up in 1994 and he hit 350 over a 40-game slide.
Rico Borgagna.
You can't tell me he was a nothing. And in 1995, when he hit 290 with an 830 OPS, how many times in Philly do you have an 830 OPS? Exactly. Shut your mouth. He was a wonderful Met. And then the Mets made a decision. And it's a tough decision, because while they traded him for garbage, they brought in John Olerud. And I love John Olerud. And Rico had a fine few years in Philadelphia, but he was better as a Met. He is a Met. And quite frankly, screw you. When I'm 10 years old, he's my idol. All right, you're older. So your idol may be some other loser. My idol was Rico Bronya. And quite frankly, I don't want you to listen to the podcast. Don't even download it. In fact, I ban you from listening to it. You're going to call up and disrespect Rico Bronya like that. Screw you.
Wow. First of all, I want to apologize to the audience for by far the dumbest heated argument between a caller and a host in WFAN history.
Rocco Borgonoi.
Second of all, imagine caring that much about naming your podcast Rico Bronya. Imagine that guy.
Are you me or the guy? Who
the
are you
mad guy. At? He grew up 7.5 minutes from Shea, and he doesn't listen because of the name, because he had his best years with the Phillies?
He's acting
like Rico Bronya was Ryan Howard with
the Phillies.
First of
all, that's not true. He played more games with the Phillies. I'll give you that. He played full seasons with the Phillies. But I will never forget those 40 games in 1994. And if you forgot it, that's on you.
One thing. According to AI, AI says Rico Bronya was a better Philly than a Met.
Hold on a second.
Mets fans for Phillies?
Paulie, also, that's because AI is a Philly guy.
Couple of things. Rico Bronya played significantly more games with the Philadelphia Phillies. I acknowledge that. So if you are using counting stats to describe Rico Bronya, he was better as a Philly. If you go by batting average and on base and slugging and OPS, he was a better Met. Now, I had Rico Bronya on the Rico Bronya. Oh, and I asked him, are you a Met or a Philly? And I appreciated his honesty. He said he was a Philly. And that's fine. And I said, well, okay. Well, you're a Met in my mind. And he is a Met. And I loved him as a Met. And so I'm not going to engage in this dumb argument because I win and you lose.
You know what?
Because I named the podcast it.
Rico Borgonya.
You know what this has taught me, Evan?
What?
Starting in September, I'm renaming my podcast.
I'm afraid to know.
One giant step is out. It is now the Saquon Barkley.
How dare you?
Why?
How dare you?
Why?
Because
he had more 1,000-yard seasons with the Giants.
Saquon Barkley chose
Saquon sucks to join.
He chose to leave, and he won a championship. Rico Bronya was traded away and won nothing. And the Mets got better. So that's why, as a Met fan, I'm not even bitter about the trade, because they got John Olerud. They were in the NLCS in a few years. He didn't do anything in Philadelphia. He didn't win in Philadelphia. So comparing that to Saquon Barkley is sad.
I'm just telling you.
Hey, speaking of Saquon Barkley, you want to hear some from Saquon Barkley?
Sure.
Saquon did an interview the other day with... It's a great podcast, so I feel horrible forgetting the name.
Hey, Tom, pardon my take.
Pardon my take, and they do a wonderful job.
So I'm pumped this.
So they had Saquon Barkley on. There's a bunch of clips I have from this. Would you like to hear one of them?
A bunch of clips?
Yeah, we got like 10 clips. Hey, Connor.
How long have you been saving this one, pal?
2 days. Can you play the clip that Sean will like? It's the very quick clip about Saquon Barkley and what he thought about the Philadelphia Eagles.
F the Eagles on three.
How good is that?
I like that.
Play that one more time.
F the Eagles on three.
Yeah, he said that. I cut out the context because we don't need it.
Okay.
I like that one so far.
Did he just believe that? Because I tried to get Abdul Carter to basically say that a couple weeks ago.
I tried to get him to do that. You tried to do it.
I said, do you hate? Who do you? I don't hate anybody. Then you said, look at this camera.
Didn't I set the whole thing up?
I set it up, and then you did the long wind to try to get more out of him because I wasn't getting it out of him.
Oh, maybe you're right. All right, good job by you, Sean.
Well, no, all right.
Yeah. How about this one? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
How the Hard Knocks clip was actually the best thing that ever happened to him. Remember the clip of John Mara? Yeah. Like, oh, I won't be able to sleep at night.
Yep.
Here is Saquon Barkley talking.
Trouble sleeping lately.
Here's Saquon Barkley talking about why that clip turned out to be a good thing.
I'm kind of happy that it saved me.
Yeah, how so?
People thought like,
oh, you're right.
I just, you know what I mean? So you got to see, it depends, like you have fans that, you know, they're just blinded by it and they're just like, oh, he just left.
Right.
But you got to see that. It's like, yes, we had a negotiated process the year before, but that year, you know, they gave me an opportunity to hit the open market, which was the right thing to do by the Giants. A lot of people don't talk about that. Like, they didn't have to do that. So for Joe Shane and all those guys over there to be like, the right thing to do by him is to let him test the market. And I gave him the opportunity to match it. You know, obviously they felt like I wasn't worth what they thought that number was. And best thing that ever happened to me. And
yeah.
I'm here. I'm in Philly. I'm with Howie. I'm with Big Dom, with all these guys. I got the best offensive line of football. We just came off a Super Bowl win.
Enough.
And things are continuing to go great.
Yeah.
He said Big Dom.
First of all, F Big Dom. That's number one. Number two, I hate that comment.
Why?
Obviously, they thought I wasn't worth it. That's not what they thought. Say, and you know that was. They thought the cap space they had with the team shouldn't be allocated to a running back that needed to improve in other areas.
That's the same thing.
That's not the same.
He's of course acting, it's the same thing.
Because the Giants clearly thought Saquon Barkley was a really good football player that in a perfect world they could pay. That was not what happened. The Giants needed, they went out and signed two offensive linemen with that money. Big difference.
I don't think it is. And I think from a player standpoint, I get why he says that. And I also get the overall point that the clip did him good. Because I think there were Giant fans to see the clarity of what happened, to know that it wasn't Saquon Barkley saying, boy, I can't wait to leave. That's not what happened. Like, it was the Giants kind of deciding, hey, it's not worth it. You're right about the cap reasons, yeah. But nevertheless. So I kind of get his point.
Why is this even being asked to a Saquon? But he's already, everything should be about the Eagles. He won a Super Bowl. He's the cover boy of Madden. Why are we looking back on a year ago? Why?
You know what? That's true. Why don't we hear a clip about if Saquon Barkley still plays Madden? That seems more of Sean's alley.
All right.
Hey, Saquon, do you play Madden Football, the video game?
You still play Madden?
Yeah, of course.
You play with yourself?
I play Madden in a weird way, right? I guess it's not really that weird, but to me, like, I play franchise mode. I go on, I'll take a team, I'll trade all their great players, get as many draft picks as I can, and then draft random guys and kind of make a rebuild. So that's like how I play Madden.
Are you playing with the Eagles?
No, we're pretty good. So I don't.
So who are you playing with?
I'll pick a random team.
What team are you playing with right now?
Probably either the Jets or the Rams.
Okay. So you might win a Super Bowl with the Jets.
So that's what I do. Like, I'll get it.
That'd be crazy.
I felt it coming the whole time.
Oh, thank God.
I take a loser franchise and I try to make him win. And he picks the Jets.
But he said, or the Rams.
Yeah, the Ram one's weird.
The Rams were the team came closest to knocking them out last year.
That was the weird part of it. So the Jets thing made my stomach sink hearing that. Because like, here he is taking shots at the Jets. What else is new? But the Ram part, like, why would you trade? I guess you trade Matthew Stafford and you trade all their talent.
But that's not a bad team. I actually would take that as a compliment. If he's putting you in the same group as the Rams, you might have stock up.
Well, as you know, Saquon Barkley grew up as a Jet fan. Here is him talking about his Jets fandom.
Kind of how the Jets' real GM plays Madden, too.
You could be the Jets' GM.
Hey, listen, I'm a stay away from that. I'm a Jets fan growing up.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan anymore, but a Jets fan growing up. So I know the struggles, but I also know the glory days with Mark Sanchez and the boys. So I'm going to let those guys be GMs. I'm going to stick to running the football.
Here's what makes me so sad, but I get it. Saquon is so young, as am I, and the Jets have been such losers for such a long time. Glory days and Mark Sanchez fit side by side.
That is unbelievable.
And like, he's not wrong.
And like, picture him like in high school when that's happening. That's crazy.
Dude, I could say the same thing. I'm a 42-year-old man. Like, I remember 98, and 98 was great. But overall, my glory days as a Jet fan, probably even above 1998, would be the 2 years they got to the title game in 9 and 10.
That's
back-to-back title games. Because as great as 98 was, think about what happened the following season. They didn't make the playoffs. Yeah. Vinny gets hurt. A year later, Bill's gone.
Yeah.
So I can't even call that the glory days. Like, the glory days. He's right.
That's insane.
Damn.
That's insane.
I know. I feel it.
Good for Saquon. Can I give you an update on a caller that called earlier?
Yeah, real quick before you do. The only reason we played Saquon Barkley clips is because that guy called in to bitch about Rico Brogna really being a Philly and not a Met. So we talked about someone who truly is a Philly and not a New Yorker. Anyhow, go ahead.
It all comes full circle. The fan earlier that called and asked for permission to come back to being a Brooklyn Nets fan and said he left because they got Kyrie and KD didn't agree with it. He has tweeted into me, hey, more context on my call. He attempted to be a fan of another NBA team, and he told me the fan team.
Attempted to be a fan of another team?
I attempted to be a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, but it never felt genuine. I feel me coming back when the team stinks is the morally right thing to do.
Yeah.
So he did attempt to be a fan of another NBA team.
I still think it's
Minnesota!
I still think it's okay for him to come back because if you were leaving Net fandom at a time in which we thought they could win, and now you're coming back at the height of the rebuild, that shows like true, you know, I don't even know what the word is, patheticness?
Chutzpah?
Chutzpah or loyalty?
All right.
There's a level of loyalty to that you have to absolutely respect.
I also have breaking Yankee news. Giancarlo Stanton is going to play the outfield tomorrow.
Wow. On Old Timers Day. Only fitting.
Yes.
Is he going to play in the Old Timers
game? I guess they figure he can't look worse than Mickey Rivers out there.
And the Yankees and Astros, of course, have formed this wonderful rivalry where Yankee fans hate the Astros. I'm sure Astro fans hate the Yankees. But keep this in mind as the Yankees get set to play these three games. The Yankees have had success against the Astros in the regular season. That is not new.
Mm-hmm.
It's a postseason boogeyman. not a regular season boogeyman. And this weekend to me is more about just getting back on track than it is, ooh, it's the Astros. We have to beat the Astros. Right. It's about winning games. Look, they won a very important game on Wednesday afternoon they needed to have against Texas. It was a gutsy effort. David Bednar was a dog. We all know what happened. But now it's about, hey, can the Yankees put together a nice stretch of games? And the Astros have not played well for a while. I mean, that's the thing. You mentioned this earlier about baseball and the mediocrity, and I've talked about the Mets being mediocre for a while, the Yankees being mediocre. For the Astros, they're kind of in the same boat. If you go back about a month and a half, they're an under 500 team too.
Right. They did win 2 out of 3 versus the Marlins, but before that had been just absolutely sputtering. There's a sweep at the hands of the A's mixed in there. They have not been good. And the Yankees, I think, on top of just playing good baseball, how about turning that last victory with Bednar into something, though? Don't let it be a one-off, because the Yankees, how many times through this whole bad stretch have they had that one moment where you think, oh, that's going to break them out of it? The Bellinger catch versus the Mets was one of those.
The Brave game to me.
Yes, yes. Bouncing back like that. Or the Mariner game when you get no hit and then you come back and win. They had these little moments and you're thinking, that's it. Now they're going to wake up. Can the Bednar 5-out save and Boone sticking with him and the Goldie pinch hit, like, can that parlayed with this series versus the Astros, who have been the boogeyman at times, can this become the start of something? It would be a real shame to waste what you did in salvaging the final game of that road trip in such an emotional way and let it go by the wayside because you just go lay a turd tonight versus the Astros.
Here is the lineup tonight against Hunter Brown, the right-hander. Trent Grisham leading off in center. Ben Rice batting second and first base. Judge is DHing. Mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger in right. Jazz Chisholm at second. Jason Dominguez in left. Anthony Volpe at shortstop batting seventh. Ryan McMahon third base eighth. Austin Wells ninth catching. Your thoughts?
I mean, look, they're going to play this mix-and-match game all weekend. Are they facing a lefty at all this weekend?
They are. They're facing Framber Valdez on Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
And the other thing to keep in mind, because I've gone back and forth on this with Goldie. Goldie kills lefties. His numbers are inhuman against left-handed pitching. It's over 400 with an OPS over 1,000. And against righties, he's basically a minor leaguer. The Astros have 4 left-handers in their bullpen. So even if it's playing the matchups or not playing the matchups, they're going to be in a spot. Obviously, their closer is a lefty. We all know that, and Josh Hader. Mm-hmm. There is going to be ample Goldie pinch hit opportunities.
Yeah.
So a night like tonight against a righty, you know Goldie's getting in this game. It's just a matter of when do you throw the bullet at him.
So the reason I set that up is the only real qualm I think you could have with the lineup here, especially if you're going to play Giancarlo tomorrow, is, man, you know, at some point you let Austin Wells sit a couple games in a row because he had been struggling so much. But you know he's not going to play a day game after a night game anyway, so you didn't want to waste Rice catching and then not have him tomorrow. So I'm fine. You know Goldie's going to be at first base tomorrow, and I assume Rice will catch tomorrow, so you play Wells tonight.
It's just, it's tricky not having a third catch.
I know. It's the game they're playing.
Because let me walk you through all the issues that you have. First of all, your backup catcher is playing first base.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an injury, boom, that guy is moving behind the plate. Number two, Austin Wells and Ben Rice are absolute candidates to be pinch hit for. They just are.
Yes.
You can't pinch hit for both of them.
No. And you're not going to pinch hit for Rice now. I think they've proven that after the other night.
But here's the problem with that. There could be an opportunity where you should. Because late in the game, like, I'll bring you a Josh Hader spot.
Okay. All right. But I think they will probably, in that spot, probably have used Goldschmidt before they get the Hader.
Maybe they have. Maybe they haven't. They may have. But that's the point. Like, those guys cannot be both pinch hit for. And against a tough lefty, obviously pinch hitting for Austin Wells is a no-brainer. And in the right spot, I'd pinch hit for Ben Rice, as good of a year as he's had. But because they don't have that third catcher on the roster, you can't do that. And that's kind of the issue with not having a third catcher. There's a lot of issues with it, but that to me is one thing that jumps out at me on a lineup like tonight.
They don't have a real backup catcher, and as Francesa put it with Sal, they have about 4 DHs right now with Judge.
Well, I don't agree with that assessment. I heard him say I don't agree with that.
Because I think Dominguez can play a little better than people think. I don't think he's the worst butcher in the world.
But I don't think he's... I get the point because he has struggled defensively. Yeah. I get it. I'm not ready to call him a DH.
I'm not either.
So right now their DH is Giancarlo Stanton. Who else is a DH on this team?
Judge.
Because of injury.
Who was the fourth guy, he said? Oh, Rice.
Ben Rice sort of is a DH. Like, I can't quibble with that too much. I think he's still learning a position. I mean, he's really a catcher.
I know.
Like, let's be honest. He was a catcher that was moved to first base. And now it's first base catcher, a DH. I agree he's a DH. I don't think Dominguez is a DH. And I think Judge is just the circumstances he's in.
Right.
Now, Giancarlo, as you mentioned, according to Aaron Boone, is going to play the outfield tomorrow.
I'm watching him field balls right now in the outfield.
Look, here's the deal with Giancarlo. I'm going to make a statement. You guys are going to think I'm nuts, but trust me. He's actually a good defensive right fielder. Let me just say that and get it out of the way. He actually is. The problem is getting to balls. The problem is worry about injury, even though he's never been hurt playing the outfield. It's all happened outside of that. And it's just the worry of, hey, how quickly can he get to a ball?
Well, but he's not a good defensive outfielder.
If he gets the ball, he makes the catch.
Okay. Evan, part of being a good defensive outfielder is being able to track down a fly ball.
I understand. I'm just saying he's not the worst.
You're right. In his career, he was not the worst. He is greatly slowed down the last couple of years in terms of mobility. That's ground to cover, whatever. This also takes, and they won't play him anywhere versus a lefty. Dominguez can't play left in the same day Stanton is playing right. That's got to be a Bellinger, Grisham, and you basically treat those guys like they're playing three positions between the two of them. I think that's the way that's going to be designed for them.
I think the negative sometimes with playing Giancarlo is you don't have that weapon off the bench. If anything, if you have a lead late, he's coming out of the game, like you said, for defense.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, having him as a weapon off the bench is pretty cool. The problem is he can't stay in the game.
Yeah,
like, you're not going to pinch hit for him and then have him play the outfield.
Weapon off the bench, like, just I'd rather have him have three at-bats early in the game than worry about pinch hitting him late in the game.
I understand, but the issue you run into, and I see this a lot, is, okay, he starts the game, he gets his three at-bats, you have a one-run lead in the seventh inning. When do you take him out for defense? Probably as quickly as you can. Now you don't have him if the game gets tied. Now you don't have him if there's two on two out with only a one-run lead. Now you don't have him if you blow the lead. You see what I'm saying?
But
you end up losing him.
But you've been doing that anyway from the DH spot by pinch running him late in these
games. That's very different, though, pinch running. You're not in a rush to pinch run a guy unless they get on base. When it comes to defense, you're going to be in a rush to get him out of the game.
I would hope that the strength of this team being the deepness and flexibility of the lineup, and even their bench now, right? They have a legitimate bench. That you're not in dire need going, oh my God, man, if we had Giancarlo available in the eighth. Like, you should be able to get around that. The team should be deep enough now.
Let's go to John in Mesbeth. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Yo!
John A.
Shaking.
Sean, first off, listen, you bring Entenmann to my house, I will give you the biggest hug in the world. Entenmann is great.
Thank you, John.
And
you
Evan, listen, if I'm having a barbecue, you can bring your scorebook over anytime.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you, John.
Only because I would want you to teach me how to score a game, because I'm kind of thinking about doing it myself.
Okay.
But, so, I'm scrolling through social media, and I see a post from the Mets about a Beatles night next week.
Yes, yes.
Kind of brought me back to when Steve Cohen called them the Fab Four, whatever that is, right?
Yes.
Now, Fab Four really hasn't been fabulous since Steve Cohen called him the Fab Four, and I kind of wanted to see to what extent. So since they called him the Fab Four, combined batting average of 194 and a combined OPS of 616.
Wow, you did all the work.
Now,
look at
that.
That
is just, I sat there on the OPS calculator, doubles, triples, sac flies, hit by pitches. So they have a 10-13 record in that span. You know what 10-13 is when it comes to law enforcement? That means officer needs help. The Mets need help. And you know what kind of help they need? They need me to reverse the reverse jinx.
Here we go.
That I put like on them. They need me to reverse the reverse jinx. Because when I did that reverse jinx, since then, their record is 18-28. That's a .390 winning percentage. Now, I've asked several times nicely, if you want to have a bargaining session to reverse the reverse jinx, I'm open game. I've been repeatedly told no. This is the last time I'm offering to end the reverse jinx.
Wow. How are you going to end the reverse jinx, and what do you want from me to do the reverse jinx ending?
I need you, Evan, to not score a game while watching it.
Well, he's doing that Sunday, maybe.
No, you know what? Fine. I won't bring the book Sunday. And what does that mean? You're going to reverse jinx the Met offensive struggles? And how are you going to do it?
I'll do a reverse jinx, reverse drive-by after you do it. I need proof that you did not score the game while watching it live or on DVR.
Okay, how do I supply proof that I didn't score a game? Like, what do? I show you a blank scorecard? Like, how do I prove that?
I need you to, like, shoot a video of, like, you watching the game and your scorebook empty.
So I don't think Sunday's the right time to do it, Evan, but I think you should go live-streamed Rico of you just watching a game where we could observe the full nine innings of you not scoring.
Look, as much as I love scoring games, if I believed in reverse jinxes, if I believed John could save the New York Mets, I would gladly give up a game to save the Mets. But do I really want to not score a game just so John records some dopey video around Citi Field that makes us believe he's going to reverse jinx the Mets?
I would be entertained.
Would you be entertained?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime John drives by Citi Field, it's worth it.
I don't know when he did his jinx reverse jinx. Here's what I know. Since June 13th, which is more famous for me and you having a debate on which New York team is better.
We should have done that with the Giants and Jets today. That should have been the open. Damn it. We missed it.
Since that day, the Mets are 18-28. And look, Sal said this to me earlier. Sal, being the rational one, said, but Ev, you could take any point of the season and play this game. And he's sort of right. Like, you go to any point of the season and say, best record since this date, best record than that date. That's why I don't really use the June 13th thing as much as I use the end of the Philly series. Since April 26th, that's a pretty big sample size. They're 45-44.
Damn.
That's an 89-game sample size.
That's a lot of games.
Now, 500, I think we'd all admit, it's mediocre.
That's usually the definition of 500.
So what I have said about this team, and it doesn't mean they can't get hot at the right time. I mean, God knows it's baseball. Of course they can. But for a 90-game sample size since late April, really since they swept the Phillies, they've been an average team. They just have. And, you know, he mentioned the Fab Four, as Steve Cohen called it. They're a big part of it. Their struggles have been a big part of it. But they're not the only reason they don't score enough runs. They've got no production out of third base. Like, is Mark Vientos going to wake up? Is he? Is Francisco Alvarez going to live up to the hype we had for him a few years ago? Is he? Is Cedric Mullins going to give him any production in center field if they got none of it for the first 4 months of the season? Is he? Like, there are a lot of questions, and there need to be answers for this team to be better than the mediocre team they've been since April 26th.
Any truth to the rumor in 5 years with Alonso, Soto, and Alvarez, Steve Cohen's considering calling them the Fat Four?
I'm just going to move on. I mean, if you laughed at home, great. If you want to punch Sean at home, great. No comment. How about that?
I see you on the Van Wyck laugh.
I saw a belly.
Stupid. Dan is
he's
in,
fat.
Dan is in Jefferson, New Jersey. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Evan. I just wanted to make a couple of Met points. You're right about the mediocre team that they are, because that's what they are, and they definitely need a spark. And I was watching last night; they had SNY had the Syracuse game on, and Brandon Sproat was pitching. And what are they waiting for to bring this guy up? I mean, this is the answer they need.
I think that there are two things. There's one thing I truly believe, and there's another thing that I'll acknowledge is out there, even if I don't truly believe it.
Okay.
And that is the rookie status for next year. Hmm. If they have more than 45 days of service time, and if they throw more than 50 innings, they would lose that. I think you brought that up.
Yes, I did.
I don't believe that's why the Mets are holding them back, but I do want to acknowledge it as a possibility.
Okay.
I think they're waiting for this stretch coming up next week where they play 16 games in a row. And I think once they're in that stretch where Senga's going to need extra rest, it would behoove Clay Holmes to have extra rest, I think we're going to see the kids. By the way, I don't know Sean's political affiliation, but I'll tell you right now, I'm going to give him more information that's going to basically force this poor guy to be a Democrat.
Wow.
Because
I am a white guy from Long Island.
I don't know what that means. So I told him earlier the Yankee thing about how the Yankees haven't won a World Series with a Republican as president since Dwight Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of examples of them winning with Democratic presidents, right? Dan has given me information about the Rangers.
No.
The New York Rangers have made the Stanley Cup Finals 11 times in their history.
Okay.
9 of the times were with Democratic presidents.
Really?
9 of the times. The last time they made the Cup Finals with a Republican president was before you were born, 1972, Richard Nixon.
All right. What do we got here? Who's next in line for the Democrats?
I'm going to give it.
That's Shesterkin contracts long?
I'm just saying. 2015, Obama. 94, the big one, Bill Clinton.
Well, 2014.
2014, that's right. Still Obama. We're good either way. He wrote 2015, so okay. Dan must have messed that up. That's okay.
Lost to the Lightning in the Eastern Conference.
Either way, Obama's the president. So we got Obama, Clinton 94, Carter 79, Nixon 72. There's your Republican. Harry Truman 1950.
Oh, of course.
FDR 1940, FDR 1937, FDR 1933, FDR 1932, and you got to go back to 1929 when Herbert Hoover, who gets way too much crap,
I agree,
was president for the other time they made the Cup final as a Republican. So I'm just letting you know.
So I got a lot riding on the Yankees and New York Rangers.
You need a Democrat.
I need a Democrat. Well, we're screwed for the next 3 years.
You're kind of screwed.
Okay. Research on the Giants Super Bowls now.
Well, that one's easy. So you made it in 2011 and won Obama.
Okay.
2007 was Bush. That's a Republican.
Okay.
Okay. 2000 was Bill Clinton, Democrat.
Okay.
1990, Bush, 86, Reagan. So it's a good mix. You're good.
Okay.
You're good.
All right.
So you can win a Super Bowl with a Republican president.
My best shot is the Giants right now.
Yeah. But when it comes to hockey and baseball, yeah, this may force Sean to have to get into politics.
I may have to move.
I didn't know the Ranger one. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that one's easy to look up. It's been a long time.
For everybody that's so sensitive about this, this doesn't mean anything.
Of course.
I just want everybody to calm down.
We're having fun.
Abraham Lincoln sucked.
What? How dare you say something like that? He was my favorite. We don't have any championships with Lincoln because it was 1861.
Did they play sports back then?
I think, what was around in 1861?
Stickball?
No.
They probably threw a rock around somewhere.
Horse racing?
Horse racing, okay.
Horse racing, maybe the dog show?
Fencing?
Boxing?
First baseball game was played 1846 in Hoboken.
Yeah, that's true. But
it's like, not like competitive Yankees versus Mets baseball, but it was baseball.
It was something, and there's rumors Abe Lincoln wrestled. You ever hear that one?
No.
Yeah, no, Abe Lincoln wrestled.
Shirtless?
I don't know. Why would you ask that?
Well, because sometimes guys wear a leotard. I was just curious.
I don't know if he was shirtless.
Back then they wrestled in the nude.
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
I know he killed vampires.
Shut up. I hate that. I hate that they made a movie like that.
You know what I just realized in real time? And I don't care how stupid I sound.
Go ahead.
That's probably why the Lincoln Tunnel's named the Lincoln Tunnel, right? For Abe Lincoln?
Are you serious?
Or was there like a New Yorker Lincoln?
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. I never thought of it because I always thought Holland, Lincoln. It just hit me. It's Abe Lincoln. Oh, yeah, Lincoln Tunnel. It makes sense.
Sean, what do you think the Hoover Dam is named after?
Maybe somebody in Nevada. I don't know.
I'm going to blow your mind with another story that's true.
All right.
Abe Lincoln had a son. Robert Todd Lincoln.
All right. RTL.
Almost died.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Almost fell. I think he fell off a cliff, something like that. You know who saved his life?
Hoover?
John Wilkes Booth's brother.
Come on.
And you know what John Wilkes Booth would do a few years later?
Are you serious?
Kill his father, yeah.
You're saying that in such a believable fashion. You're going to get me to believe something false.
We're going to play a game. It's called Is Evan Lying? For the most part. Is that story true or not, in your opinion?
No. No way.
No way it's true.
Okay.
Google it and let us all know when we come back.
But Google's wrong all the time.
Well, do your research. I mean,
somebody could have wrote this in history. Nobody fact-checked 150 years later.
Well, no, you can't play that game.
All right, even if it's true, do you believe it?
If I've read it in numerous history books, do I believe it's true?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I believe it's true?
I don't know. I feel like somebody...
I mean, Robert Todd Lincoln served in like a bunch of administrations. He's told the story. It's not like he's from 5,000 years ago. He was a human who existed. You think he's a liar? You think Robert Todd Lincoln was like, I got this great one. This is a good one.
How?
Yeah, it's a true story. Can't believe you don't believe me.
I'm reading it. That's crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, the theater was named Booth's Theater. In 1869.
It was called Ford Theater.
Oh, they had another theater.
This is what Sean is talking about, how Google's always wrong, by the way.
John Wilkes Booth was an actor. He was actually like a I think his brother may have been even more famous.
He is a fraud and a complete liar.
He performed in Shakespearean plays in Booth. He founded Booth's Theater.
Yeah, it's a different theater, right? Because it was Ford Theater.
True story. He found a theater named Booth. Oh, wait. This is Edwin Booth. I'm thinking of Lincoln's son.
True story.
I'm lost.